is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 3. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows? Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 10, the verses 1 through 15. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, the first 15 verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and that all eat the same spiritual meat and that all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. And neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. And neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. And neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. thus far the scripture reading. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee to open the doors of the sanctuary for the second time on this holy day of rest, and then by renewal a part, another part, still the smaller part of the congregation may come up to thy house. The greater part is called upon in this hour to remain in their dwellings when they may listen along. Then thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for everything in speaking and in listening. May our eyes be upon thee. May it please thee to bless us and our children with thy special blessing, with thy special presence, and with thy special favor. After the day of Pentecost, then thou hast continued to do wonderful things. May it please thee to also do wonderful things amongst us, and that especially in the realm of grace. We are all traveling to a never-ending eternity. Moses, thy servant, has recorded that we fly away. May we be given to examine each of our hearts from the youngest to the oldest on which way we are traveling, and, O Lord, if a wonder has not taken place in our life, then we are still on that broad way that leadeth to hell. May that become reality for the unconverted. Oh, prick them in their heart. And that as a poor beggar, they may come at thy footstool, begging for that one thing needful. We need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou remember thy children? Thou knowest where they are encamped. Go before them as the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. Wilt thou instruct? Wilt thou comfort? Wilt thou encourage them? There can be so many riddles and so many perplexities, the burden of sin. Ah, thou hast a people upon the earth that cannot miss thee on account of that love shed abroad in the heart. And they learn because of their sin that great separation, a separation which they try to bridge over, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit to uncover deeper. Dig deeper, Son of Man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. That room may be made for that only name given under heaven, the name of Jesus, who has come to save his people from their sins. Grant unto thy children that close, that tender life, the throne of grace, exercised with the coming of thy kingdom, and that thy name may be glorified. Bless the manifold means of grace. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory? Remember the family circles. Remember also our school. Then thou was granted in the past week that the lessons may come to an end. Ah, then we have many reasons, under the unusual and extraordinary circumstances, that the school year may still come to an end. Then thou hast granted thy help to the school board. Thou hast remembered administration. Thou hast continued to uphold the teachers, all those that work in the school. Then thou hast also granted thy help to parents, to children, undoubtedly many times overwhelmed, possibly not knowing how to continue. But then thou hast granted in this past week that an Ebenezer may be raised hitherto the Lord has helped. To that end may it please thee to grant broken and contrite hearts to be given to end in thee, and with the fervent prayer that the instruction, when thy word has been opened so oftentimes in the past school year, that it may be have made a blessing for young and old. And now in this week, then there are students that are called upon to write their exams, and thou knowest what a mountain that can be. Well, thou grant thy help to study, and may they come on their knees, begging of thee for thy help, that thou may yet make it an easy task for the one student. It is easier than another, thou hast said in thy word, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of me, who giveth liberally and abradeth not. And then toward the end of this week, then a final Ebenezer for some of our students, when they hope to graduate, then thou wast spared, then thou wast helped, and then thou wast cared. May there then be an ending in thee, and O Lord, wilt thou remember our graduates for many years. They have been instructed out of thy holy word, and we live in a time that there are so many temptations. But wilt thou remember our students, bind them together around the old truths and the old ways above all. May it please thee by thy Holy Spirit, thou knowest what liveth in all of their hearts, but then it is so indispensable that by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of thy Spirit, that we may experience those truths. And then there shall be a love for that truth and for those old ways. And then we shall strive for that truth. And then we shall be willing to sacrifice for the truth. Lord, may they be carried upon the wings of prayer. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, wherever thy church may gather, different circumstances, many countries, where there is persecution among the Jewish people still so ignorant. Remember our mission field. Wilt thou remember and uphold thy servants and the team. And may thy word also be blessed under different circumstances. And may thou manifest thyself in special ways as a wonder-doing God. Remember those that are called upon to bring thy word to the ends of the earth, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, from pole to pole, and from the rivers to the ends of the earth. We remember the nations of the earth in this difficult time, where there is much unrest. Remember also our country, our province. Remember our leaders. We have departed so far from thee, from the old paths, from thy word and from thy institutions. Impress it upon all our hearts that we are part of this country, and that national sins, that it brings national guilt, O national judgments, Lord. And then thou wert speaking in such special ways, and it is recorded in thy holy word, that the time has come that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Wilt thou then grant repentance unto thy church, to be given to repent from evil and worldly ways, and under thy special judgments, that we may be given to learn, to experience, that we need a hiding place, that we may be given by thy grace to haste and flee, for our life's sake to find a hiding place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. Then we remember all the needs in the midst of the congregation. Wilt thou continue to provide the daily bread for the family circles thou hast taught thy church to pray, and give us this day our daily bread. And then we remember the sick and the afflicted, those that have received the report of a dreaded disease, an old father, an old mother, a younger mother. Ah, Lord, we commend them all unto thee. May they be given to cry unto thee together with their dear ones, and that above all that these callings that they may be sanctified for the saving of never dying souls. Oh, the necessity that we are brought under that heavenly physician for our sin-sick souls. Wilt thou continue to remember the mourning ones? Remember all the elderly ones, those that are becoming frail. We commend them all unto thee. We remember the handicapped ones. We remember all the crosses and all the burdens. Wilt thou remember the family circles? Wilt thou bind them together more and more in love? When that love is lacking, or when that love is waxing cold, and, Lord, what has been separated, and may it please thee according to thy word, and according to thy institution, to bring together. Then we commend unto thee a couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony at the end of this week. May it please thee to be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and all may they be given to beg of thee, that it may be a marriage not only in thy providence, but also in thy favor, that it may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters that have went astray. Ah, Lord, thou knowest where they are. May it please thee to look them up, that they may come to themselves. And may it please thee to keep our youth in the midst of so many temptations and in the midst of so much false religion, to keep them under the truth of thy word. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, then by renewal we beg of thee for thy help. May it please thee to send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou remember all the hearers, those that may be present in thy house. May it be a special and unforgettable service when after many weeks, when they were called upon to remain in their homes. But wilt thou remember all those in their dwellings. In a special way wilt thou help and remember our little children. But, Lord, what our little children need that we all need. We need ears to listen. We need an understanding that may be enlightened. And we need a heart to perceive. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 143, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me, and thy abounding love blot out all my iniquity and what follows. Psalter 143, the first three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 27, the question and answer 72, 73, and 74. Question 72, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Answer, not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. Question 73. Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing away of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Answer. God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins, as really as we are externally washed with water. Question 74, are infants also to be baptized? Answer, yes. For since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them, and no less than to the adult, they must therefore by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church, and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Covenant or Testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the New Covenant. A Lord's Day number 27, that speaks of the water in the sacrament of holy baptism. With three thoughts, in the first place, what the water cannot do. In the second place, what the water is called in Scripture. And in the third place, to whom the water must be administered. The water in the sacrament of holy baptism. What the water cannot do. What the water is called in Scripture. And in the third place, to whom the water must be administered. Beloved congregation, then in this evening hour, then once more we are called to consider the sacrament of holy baptism. We have told you in the past week, six Lord's Days, in our Heidelberg Catechism that are devoted to the sacraments, and that we must understand in the context of the time, concerning the Roman Catholic Church, but also concerning the Church of the Reformation, where there were different thoughts. And then the question could arise in our mind, that wasn't that time that we can understand, but is it now necessary in the year 2020 for us and our children, when we have been brought up under the truth, is it then necessary to so extensively speak and consider the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of the Holy Supper? What do you think, congregation? Then in the first place, then we live in a world also in our day, also concerning the sacraments, where there are so many different thoughts and so many errors. But in the second place, concerning the sacraments, then how necessary, because there lie truths and mysteries declared in those sacraments that are not so easy to fathom. And then also for us and our children, then there can be many wrong notions. And to that end, in our form for the administration of holy baptism, then our old fathers, they have mentioned two things. They have mentioned superstition, and they have mentioned custom. We would say two extremes. And therefore, so necessary and so profitable, it is true, also for the true child of God, then they need to be instructed, a special light given by the Holy Spirit, that they may be given to fully to understand the riches in those sacraments. And now in question 72, is then the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Then we must also understand that question aright. Then the instructor is not asking when the sacrament of holy baptism is administered, when the water is sprinkled upon the foreheads of those little children, then the question is not whether that water washes our sins away. I think even our children can understand it, because we have heard last week that water that is a sign, and a sign is not the thing signified. Thus then we must understand the questioner right. It is not that there shall be people, maybe the very ignorant ones, that have not knowledge of the Word of God. Because I read in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses all sin. So I think that most of our children, maybe not the little ones, because it is not such an easy Lord's Day for our little children to understand. But now the question, boys and girls, when the sacrament of holy baptism is administered, maybe you have seen it when your brother or sister was baptized, that your parents, that they have presented your brother or sister before the Lord to receive the water of baptism, then at that moment, does anything take place? That is now the question in this Lord's Day. Is then the external baptism, thus then the instructors are asking, when that water is sprinkled upon the forehead of those little children, Does now anything take place in the life and in the hearts of those children? That is an important question. Also for parents, there's a blessing when fathers and mothers, with the sacrament of holy baptism, when they may be exercised therewith, that it is not only custom that we feel this right, is the command of the Lord, but that fathers and mothers are exercised therewith concerning the meaning of the sacrament. And to that end, then you hear already, congregation, also the importance of this Lord's Day for us and our children. And then concerning that question, then already in the early church, then there have come thoughts when that water is sprinkled, something takes place with the recipients. If we think even of Augustine, oh, the Lord has used him greatly in the church concerning against Pelagius, against the doctrine of free will, oh, to defend the doctrine of free and sovereign grace. But then Augustine has already written and hinted that something magical takes place. And then he has already spoken, maybe vaguely, concerning that the original sin of such a person would be taken away. And then the Roman Catholic Church, then they have taken it further. Then they have even written that the sacrament of baptism, that it grants grace, that it takes away original sin. There has even come a time that they have said that with the sacrament of holy baptism, that also the actual sin that has been committed till that moment would also be taken away, and that such a one would receive grace to perform good works, and to that end to merit salvation. And to that end, there's been even times in the church. It's true, there were many errors. When we think of these things, congregation, then we still sense that even in the Middle Ages that there were many that were very concerned about their souls, that had an impression that they could not appear before their Maker with all their sins, and that their sins needed to be forgiven, otherwise they would be forever lost. And to that end, there have even been those that have waited to be baptized. Of course, there's only a step between us and death, but that they thought, if I now wait to be baptized, then all my sins of my former life, then at least they may be forgiven. So then we sense, even in that time, that there was the solemnity and the seriousness of life, oh, a deep impression that our sins need to be pardoned. And even a Martin Luther, he has written statements that even suggest that baptism, and now in the Lutheran Church, they even say that baptism is as a wagon that conveys grace to the recipient. Thus then we see the many errors that are in the church. Then we think of Abram Kuyper, the founder of the Christian Reformed Church. That minister, for himself, he has come in great turmoil. And he felt that he must be honest to a sender and to the congregation. And Abram Kuyper, he believed that the sacraments, that they sealed the grace that was present in the one to be baptized. And Abram Kuyper believed that we are born and conceived in sin. And now for an Abram Kuyper, with the thought when he did not know that children had grace, then he felt he may not baptize them. So then for himself, he has come to a solution, and that he has told the church that we must presume that children that are born in the church under the external administration of the covenant, then we must presume that that seed of regeneration isn't such a child, and then I may baptize them. And if it later comes out, when such a child, it is true in that time, the necessity of the new birth was stressed. Oh, we live in a day. We can understand what a dangerous doctrine that is when we presume that our children, children of the covenant, converted, then the necessity of a new heart shall not be stressed. And then a people is lulled to sleep, that they are under the covenant, that it is well, a wonder does not have to take place. And as long as they are good members of the church, then at last they shall go to heaven. Are there even churches that say, we must not presume, but they are in the covenant. And as long as they do not leave the church, it shall be well. But we have read out of 1 Corinthians 10 concerning the children of Israel. That was such a blessed people. That was a people that was chosen from all the nations of the earth. Then the Lord has separated them. The Lord has granted his institutions, the Old Testament, given the sacrament of circumcision and of the Passover. There was no people upon the earth that were as blessed as the people of Israel, even Balaam. When he has stood on a high hill, and when he has saw that encampment with that pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, oh, with the tabernacle in their midst, then he says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. But then it is clear in the scripture that the sacrament does not give grace. Children of Israel were circumcised, it is true, not in the wilderness, judgment of the Lord upon them, but nevertheless, then it is clear that a sacrament does not give grace. We have heard it of the privileges of that people, that they have all been baptized unto Moses, that means they all went through the Red Sea, that they have eaten of that manna, that spiritual bread, they have drank of that rock, and that rock was Christ, the rock that was smitten. But with many of them, the Lord was not well pleased. Then concerning the many heirs, where the church believes that the sacrament has a special power, even so far that it forgives sin, then what do they not stress? What do they forget? The necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. The same with the Word. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, shall not be profitable. And so it is with the administration of the sacraments. And therefore, different times in these Lord's days, also in this Lord's day, even in the first answer, not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only, and the Holy Ghost, by the application of the Holy Ghost, cleanse us from all sin. When we have stated different errors in the church, then let us turn unto ourselves. What do we now believe concerning the sacrament of holy baptism when it is administered to our children? To even bring the question closer to home, fathers and mothers, when you have returned, or let us ask, the week before baptism, was there a week of preparation that father and mother have spoken much of those things, read the form together, prayed fervently, that the Lord may do what baptism signifies? But how has it now been when you have returned home concerning the sacrament of baptism? Because we can speak of other churches, what they believe. But what do we believe concerning that sacrament and what that water has done? And have you then been exercised with it, that the water itself, that does not wash away the sins of our children? Does that mean, parents, that they need that one thing needful? When fathers and mothers that were brought in the need, should we not ask ourselves what we really believe? Do we really believe that we and our children are unclean, that we need to be saved? Because surely if we truly believe that our children are unclean, under the wrath of God, under condemnation, and we do not know how long we are stewards, experience that little children can also be taken away, and that they need one thing, that one thing needful, then if we truly believe that the water of baptism does not wash away their sins, should then we not be more exercised with the one thing needful, O congregation? Do we really believe what we profess? And then it is so necessary. Then we see the need of different Lord's days concerning the administration of the holy sacraments, and that we may be given to see the riches thereof. Oh, the sacrament teaches that our children are unclean, that they need to be washed, and not only our children, but also the older ones, each and every one of us. We need that wonder of grace glorified in our hearts. That we learn that we are unclean, that we learn the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that we learn that the Lord is so just that He cannot overstep one sin. Oh, does the sacrament not teach us that there is no other way to be washed? The Lord has a people upon the earth that learns it in an experiential way, that they can never wash away their sins, by their tears and by their repentance. But then the sacrament teaches, not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only, and the Holy Ghost cleanses us from all sin. Then the need for the work of the Holy Ghost. Our second thought. What water is called in Scripture? Our first point, that could be a point concerning superstition, the wrong thoughts concerning baptism. Our second thought, what the water is called in Scripture, that is a point against custom. You've said it. It is commanded by the Lord. We ought to be baptized. We must be baptized. The commission that Christ has given His disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19. Thus custom. And how is it now in our life congregation? Concerning the sacrament of baptism, custom commanded, and therefore we present our children for baptism, and then are we finished, parents? Oh, what an uncovering Lord's Day. And now, the Scripture uses special words to describe the sacrament of holy baptism. Then the question is, if only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the application of the Holy Ghost, cleanses His people from all sins, why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? Those texts, they have already been quoted in answer 71 of a former Lord's Day. In Titus 3 verse 5, then it is called the washing away of regeneration. And in Acts 22 verse 16, then the Lord has sent Ananias to Saul after he was converted. And then he was given to say to Saul, who became Paul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Thus that is very strong language, which Ananias has spoken to Paul, commanded, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Was Ananias then implying to Paul that by the sacrament of baptism, that his sins would be washed away? No, the meaning is sacramental language. The Lord, in different places in the Scripture, then He speaks in such a manner to stress the riches and the meaning of what a thing signifies. The Old Testament circumcision is called the covenant. Was not the covenant of grace. The lamb was called the Passover. In a later Lord's Day than we hope to hear, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the institution of the Lord's Supper, then He has stated, this is My body. And now the Lord, He uses such strong language to declare the riches that lies in the sign. Our instructors, they have answered, God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ. The Lord uses such rich language. Ah, for a people that has become so troubled because of their sins, who by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit have learned what sinners they are, and with all their efforts to cleanse themselves, that they are a sinner still. and where it seems so impossible that such a one as I am, that we can never be washed. There can be so many doubts, can be so much unbelief. Are there a few souls that are struggling with those matters? If you deceive not yourself, where it has all become different in your life, and that you have become a sinner, experienced that separation, and that you have learned to weep, that you have learned to cry, count of that love, and that you that you cannot miss the Lord, even that there is the fear that you have sinned too much, that you have sinned too greatly, that you have sinned too long, even troubled, that you have sinned against the Holy Ghost, that it can no more, and all for that doubting, and for that troubled people, we read in Isaiah 59 verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken unto me, and let your soul dwell in fatness, and to that end, for a troubled, for a burdened people, then it has pleased the Holy Spirit to use such rich language concerning the water in holy baptism, to that end, called away the washing away of regeneration. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Then he uses such rich language, implying that it signifies, that it points, oh, that water, to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he has shed. But more, because you can remember, boys and girls, that a sacrament, it is a sign, that is the water. But it is also a seal that confirms and that assures. And therefore the instructors have added, because they have spoken of that sign broadly in the former Lord's Day, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign in the last Lord's Day, we have heard of a seal. But now our instructors are even given to speak of a pledge. That is something that we may receive, that points to a future blessing. To give an example, if you have a young man and a young woman, and the young man asks the young woman for his hand in marriage in the future, and then she receives an engagement ring, and if they now dwell especially a long distance apart, then especially when that distance is experienced, then that young woman may look on that ring, which she has received as a pledge, that when the Lord spares, of course, that they shall be united in holy matrimony, and that grants hope and expectation. And so our instructors, they are given to speak that when that sacrament is administered, and when the Lord grants light by the work of the Holy Spirit, oh, when a child of God may witness that the water is sprinkled upon the forehead of the little children, when they may be given to see that that water points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that the Lord is declaring the sureness of that covenant, that as sure as the water washes the filth from our body, so sure the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. Thus it is a pledge for the child of God concerning the forgiveness of sins, and in the second place, oh, the sureness of that covenant where the Lord promises in the sacrament of holy baptism that he shall work from generation to generation. Do we not read in Psalm 72 verse 5 that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations, O people of God? And then we can realize the necessity of different Lord's days, because also for the child of God, they learn that they are so ignorant also concerning the sacraments, and what a privilege it is when we may receive a little instruction by the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege it is when a light may fall on the sacraments, that we may see the riches thereof. What a blessing for a child of God when they may receive exercises concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. Oh, it can be. Maybe it has happened different times, congregation, that you have come up to the Lord's house on Sunday morning, and then maybe you looked at the Psalter board, the font, and then all of a sudden that had crossed your mind, the sacrament of holy baptism shall be administered in this morning hour. Thus that means no thought and no prayer and the week before. What a blessing and what a privilege it is, because we have heard it out of Lord's Day number 25 that Christ has instituted the sacraments, both of them. Not only the Lord's Supper, but both of them, holy baptism and the Holy Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the strengthening of the faith of his people. Let us first sing. Psalter 432, the stanzas 3 and 4. For God's royal might serves his truth and right. A justice he maintains, righteously he reigns, manifesting grace to his chosen race. A Jacob's seed he'll never from his covenant sever. And what follows? 432, 3 and 4. the water and the sacrament of holy baptism. Oh, what the water cannot do. Oh, what the water is called in Scripture. And now thirdly, to whom the water must be administered. Our infants also to be baptized. There are many, especially begun with the Anabaptists, maybe also as a fruit, where in the church there was not so much seriousness, where many parents have so lightly baptized their children, maybe because of world conformity. And nevertheless, the Anabaptists and the many that have stemmed from that movement, then they say that only adults, when they make a profession, that they may be baptized. Also those, when we think of the strict Baptists, where they have the true experiential religion, we think of J.C. Philpott, other godly ministers, and nevertheless, in the point of baptism, then they are mistaken, and then they have different reasons. Then they shall tell us that there is no command in the New Testament where it is specifically stated that children must be baptized. Then they make a separation between the Old and the New Testament. Then they say that the Lord works in a different way. The Old Testament, it is true, was in the external administration among the children of Israel. But now in the New Testament, the Lord works differently, and it is true that covenant is expanded and includes all those that are under the truth. Then when we read the Scriptures in Colossians 2, the verses 11 and 12, then circumcision and baptism, they are mentioned together. And concerning that command, then we could also say there is not a specific command in the Bible, although it is implied that we must keep the first day as a day of rest instead of the last day. We could even ask that people, there is no specific command, it is implied. When the Lord's Supper was instituted, it was only with men. Then in the second place, then they shall draw our attention to Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is saved, he that believeth and is baptized and is saved, but he that believeth and is baptized is saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That is a missionary command which the Lord has given to his church. And when missionaries are sent out, then we do not begin with the baptism of infants, but then first the older ones are instructed. We think of the institution of circumcision. Then Abram was already 99 years old when he was circumcised. Then the instructors, then they have written, yet for since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and the church of God. What precious promises there are in the Old Testament concerning the seed of the church, the prophecy of Joel in Joel 2, verse 28, Isaiah 44, the verses 3 through 5, that I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall grow up as the grass and as the willows, by the water courses in the Old Testament, then it was all more veiled. It was all pointing to Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. Oh, how the Old Testament, how they have prayed, and how they have waited when the Messiah would come, when that veil would be taken away, when there would be such a rich manifestation of the gospel. And now for those that tell us that little children may not be baptized, then they are even making the veil heavier. We think in the Old Testament, then the boys were circumcised when they were 8 days old. When they were 40 days old, they were brought to the temple with sacrifices, girls 80 days. Then we see in the Old Testament that the children, they have received such a special place in the church of God. And now the opposers of infant baptism, then they are telling us that in the New Testament, that it has all become more veiled, that there is nothing for the children. If we think about it, in the time of transition, if there was now a Jewish family, let's say they had 4 children, and then when the boys were 8 days old, they were circumcised, the children were brought to the temple, and then in the time of transition, they have received more children. And then all of a sudden, what that must have been for those Jewish parents, when it seemed that the children no longer counted. Then in the scripture, then in the epistles, then those questions would have come forth also at the Synod in Acts 15. Then what a questions there would have been of those Jewish parents would have come to the apostles and said, Paul, Peter, John, in the Old Testament, we were promised that it would be a very rich time when the Messiah has come, and now he has come. He has suffered, he has died, he has risen again, and now we have received more children, and it seems that the children are all excluded, that they do not have a place in the church, would have been the question that would have come up, but we read none of those things in the scriptures. If we read in church history of the early church fathers, then there have been different ones that have mentioned infant baptism at a council in the year 254 in the Council of Carthage. Then the question was placed before that council whether the children should also be baptized on the 8th day. Thus then it is clear that in the early church, that the church has understood that the sacrament of holy baptism, that it has taken the place of the Old Testament sacrament, a circumcision. When we think of Matthew 19, verse 14, when there were those that have brought their children to Christ, that he may lay his hands and bless them. And then those disciples, then they have refrained, but then Christ has said, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Thus then we see, congregation, that it is clear that infants, our instructors, they have mentioned the covenant. They have mentioned the promise. Oh, Peter, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And then in verse 39, he was given to speak of that repentance, the remission of sin, to be baptized. And then he has said, for the promises unto you and your children, and to all that are afar off. Then, congregation, we can hear the necessity of the instruction concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. And now, how is it with us and our children? Parents, you have made an oath maybe many times with the baptism of your children. Have there now been special baptisms that you remember that you cannot forget? That there were exercises before, exercises when it has taken place, or exercises that you returned home with your little child, with the sign and the seal of the covenant, declared unclean, and an impression that the water does not wash your children of their sins, but that they need to be converted, that they need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it with the oath that we have made? What a blessing it is when our oaths, when they may bring us in the inner chamber, that we may be given to cry unto that almighty and gracious God, that he may grant us gracious help. And, because parents, we cannot convert our children, but we can instruct them, and the Lord has promised that it shall not return void. Boys and girls, young people, we have a baptized forehead, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Giddy debris in the confession of faith concerning the sacrament of holy baptism as written, by which we are received into the church of God and separated from all other people and strange religions, that we may wholly belong to him whose ensign and banner we bear. May we be more and more a separate people. May we be kept from the places of vanity. May it be seen in our walk, in our clothing, that we have the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon our forehead. And if we are honest, how often do we think of our own baptism? Not only speaking of children, but all of us. Let us be honest. How often do we think of our own baptism? That when we were little children, the Lord has come so low and pleased to separate us from the multitudes of this world, that we may be a separate people, but also such a rich proclamation. Then I think we understand the necessity of our Heidelberg Catechism, different Lord's Days declaring the heirs, but also the riches of the sacrament of holy baptism. Then each time by renewal, and may the time soon come, we have 19 children that have been born that are still unbaptized. May the Lord grant exercises to that end, that the time may soon arrive, that the sacraments may be administered by renewal. May the Lord use these callings for our profit, that we may be given to consider our ways. We are traveling to eternity. but now each time that the sacrament is administered, then the Lord is declaring unto us and our children that he shall work from generation to generation, that there is still a church to be gathered, but young and old, we need to be included in that number. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. But, oh, the Lord, then he is declaring unto us, oh, we sing it each time, with the administration of holy baptism, the riches contained therein, Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands, 2,000 generations stands, the covenant made in days of old with Abraham he doth uphold. Amen. Let us close. Lord, what a mysteries and what a riches lie in the sacrament of holy baptism. And then it is necessary that we are enlightened, our understanding, and also our hearts. May it please thee to grant exercises to that end, and that thou may work from generation to generation. O Lord, thou art a jealous God. Thou art a holy God. Thou art jealous of thy name. Wilt thou bind us more and more around the old truths and around the old ways. Thou hast granted that we may commence another week, and then we humbly ask thee that thou may graciously care for us, watch over us, wherever we are called to be, the mothers in the home with the children, all at work, the fathers, remember on the farm, in the business world, wilt thou grant traveling mercies. Lord, may it please thee to keep from harm and danger. Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words and our deeds, keep us from sin and temptation. Make us more and more a separate people. Do yet a great work amongst us and our children in the latter days of the earth. Wilt thou gather us together for a weekday service around about thy holy word. And then once more we remember our students who were called to write their exams. Oh, Lord, wilt thou grant thy help and make it yet an easy task for them. And remember for the graduation, may there be an ending in thee, an acknowledging of thy goodness, but also a prayer for the future. Grant unto our graduates a deep impression that they have the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon their foreheads, called to be a separate people, that it is an awful thing to mock with thee and with thy institutions. But, oh, in the sacrament of baptism, the riches declared of the covenant, Lord, wilt thou remember us and our children with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins of this day. Also, in speaking and listening, we ask it for Christ's sake only. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 425, the stanzas 2, 5, and 6. In joyful song your hearts uniting, his works most marvelous reciting, and now glory in his holy name, and what follows. The consistory ask that when you leave the sanctuary, to also keep the distance between the families as the government has asked. Psalter 425, 2, 5, and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.